I want you to look back with me to Isaiah chapter 36. There's two questions that Rabshakeh asked three men from Hezekiah's government. We'll talk more about that and give you a brief background of the story here. But I want you to see the two questions, one in verse 5 and one in verse 6. At the end of, verse 4 and verse 5, not 5 and 6, 4 and 5. At the end of verse 4, the question is asked, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? And then at the end of verse number 5, it says, on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Two questions asked here. Before we go to that, does maybe everybody, if you have your keys in your car, everybody take out your keys and hit the button on the key thing if you have one. Not necessarily coming from our parking lot, but there's a car alarm that's going off out there and keeps on beeping, 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 beeping. Has anybody else heard that? Okay, I'm not going crazy. So somebody's car might be going off, but it sounds a little bit further away, so it might be some down the street somewhere. So if that's a bother to you, we can shut these windows. Is that gonna distract anybody from being able to listen to the sermon? That constant beep. No. Okay. I think I'll be okay once I get preaching. I won't even hear it. But I just thought, you know, it might distract some of us sensitive listeners to be able to hear the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And some of you are probably saying, well, Pastor, I wouldn't have been distracted by it, but now that you mention it, I'm going to be distracted by it. So maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut. but we'll see what happens here. So again, in verse number 4, Rabshakeh says to these three men from Hezekiah's government council, he says, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? And then again in verse number 5, he goes on to say, on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? So two questions. Where's your confidence and wherein is your trust? And then secondly, on whom are you trusting? On whom does your trust rely upon? This morning I want to preach on this subject, who are we to trust? Who are we to trust? We're living in a day and age where it's not so easy to trust people. It's not so easy to trust everything you hear and see. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of fake media. There's a lot of fake technology with AI and the things that they can do. And it's very hard today to be able to trust everything you hear. We are, I think, are over speculative as a people. I think there's much more inclination to believe conspiracy theories today than there was probably perhaps 50 years ago. And of course, media has a lot to do with that. But we often have to wonder, man, I mean, who can I trust? This person says this. This person says that. This person just suspicious. So can I really trust them? And it's oftentimes we'll have this idea in the back of our mind. Ah, man, I can't trust anybody. Who can I trust? And so this morning I want to touch on this subject. Who are we to trust? So let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Lord, it is our guiding path, guiding light to the path of life. It is the thing that directs us into what is true and what is false. And Lord, we are so thankful that we have the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And this morning as I preach this morning and share with your people a lot of scripture, I pray that we would walk away from this service with a confidence and a trust. And I pray that we would be very careful not to misplace our trust. Lord, I pray that we would have a confidence in you and that we would trust your sovereignty in our lives. Lord, please bless the preaching of the Word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the year 700 BC, during the reign of King Hezekiah, of Judah, the Assyrian army conquered both Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. And after demolishing the countryside and the fortified cities of Judah, the king of Assyria, a man by the name of Sennacherib, sent his army general, Rabshakeh, with a great number of troops from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. Rabshakeh takes complete control of the city and its water supply. He's at the upper conduit of the Fuller's Field, the water supply to the city of Jerusalem, and he's gotten control of that. And three officials from King Hezekiah's government meet with him. And this meeting, Rabshakeh tells them to give King Hezekiah a message. Give your king a message from our king, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Give him this message. And the message was this: to discourage Hezekiah and the leaders of Judah from putting their trust in Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of the world. And today, God is using this enemy of God's people to give us a message. Don't trust in Egypt. Don't trust in the power of the world. Egypt is symbolic of the world, and we as God's people ought not put our trust in the world and in the provisions and protection and safety of the world. Our trust needs to be in God and God alone. God wanted Judah to have no confidence in Egypt at all. And so he uses the message of this messenger not to put confidence in Egypt. He says that Egypt is like a broken reed. It's like leaning on a broken cane. And the pointy part of that broken cane is going to go right up into your hand, and it's going to cause more pain and harm than you thought it was going to help you. And he says, do not trust in Egypt. The truth that Rabshakeh was speaking was not intended to bring Judah to a firm trust in the Lord God. He was not speaking for God. He was an enemy of the people of God. He was an enemy of Israel. But yet, the message that he gives should have been a eye-opening warning to the children of Israel not to trust in their own protection, not to trust in the protection of that Egypt could offer. So his message was not intended to bring Judah into a firm trust in the Lord for deliverance, but rather he's doing it in a mocking, demoralizing way to drive Judah to despair. He's trying to discourage them. Rabshakeh could see the truth of Egypt's weakness better than many of the leaders of Judah could see. And so Rabshakeh anticipated the response of the leaders of Judah. He anticipates their response. And verse number 7, he says, "But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God." He's getting ahead of them. He's going to answer their response for them. He says, "Well, if you say to me that you're going to trust in the Lord, I want to tell you something. That you're a fool, you shouldn't trust in the Lord," is basically what he's going to say. Rabshakeh's message was that you can't trust in Egypt, all right. You can't trust in Egypt, and so you won't. But you can trust in the Lord our God, the Lord God of Israel. So that's your response. And Hezekiah, Rabshakeh is going to beat these people to the punch. He's going to answer that response. Rabshakeh with his army could have just taken Jerusalem by force, but he preferred it if Judah would simply give up out of fear, discouragement, and despair. And so Rabshakeh mocked Judah's weak army. He says, okay, you can't trust in Egypt because they're weak, and you want to trust in the Lord, but listen, you can't do that either. And he's going to explain why in just a moment. But he's going to mockingly offer them 2,000 horses. He says, mockingly, "Even if we helped you with 2,000 horses, it wouldn't do you any good." Rabshakeh was saying to Hezekiah, "God told me to destroy you. God told me that this is his will for you to be destroyed as a nation. And there's nothing you can do about it, Hezekiah. You might as well surrender, give up, and just wave the white flag because you have no chance against us. And God's not going to protect you. Don't trust in God." The reason he said that is because Hezekiah had made a change in where worship could take place. He took away the high places and said that no longer could people worship in those high places, that all worship had to be done at Jerusalem. And Rabshakeh knew of this. And so he was going to use that as, now you're weak. Now people can't worship God freely. They've got to follow your strict guidance of having to come to Jerusalem. So he's going to use that as a way to instill fear and unbelief in God's people. In verses 11 and 12, Hezekiah's men ask Rabshakeh to speak only to them. And so Rabshakeh will do that. In verses 13 through 20, Rabshakeh gives a speech to the people of Jerusalem. And Rabshakeh's speech was intended to build fear and unbelief in God's people. Rabshakeh's speech was intended to make surrender an attractive option. Rabshakeh's speech was intended to destroy their trust in God. And so after he gets done speaking to these three officials, these three people from the cabinet of Hezekiah, these officials did not respond, but simply went back to give the message. In verses 21 and verse 22, they went back quietly with their clothes torn to give this message to King Hezekiah. Well, we won't go into chapter 37, but in chapter 37, Hezekiah would hear the message. He would offer a prayer of deliverance for the nation. And to make a long story short, God would deliver Judah from the Syrian army. The angel of the Lord would destroy the Syrian army and give them the deliverance that Hezekiah had prayed for. But Rabshakeh, the enemy of God's people, he was the commanding general of King Sennacherib's army, king of Assyria's army. Rabshakeh had a message, and his message was intended to discourage the children of Israel from trusting in the Lord their God. He said, don't trust in the Lord. He can't help you. You might as well quit, give up, throw in the towel, wave the white flag, just surrender, because the end has already been determined. You're going down. You're going to lose this fight. Our army is so much more powerful and stronger than yours. You have no chance. That's his message in a nutshell. Don't you trust in the Lord your God? Well, I'm glad Hezekiah did not listen to this message. He trusted in the Lord his God. He went to God in prayer and offers up an amazing prayer of deliverance in chapter number 37. It begins in verse, the description of it begins in verse number 14. He actually starts praying in verse number 15 of chapter 37. But he prays for deliverance. And God answers that prayer and delivers them. This morning we have an enemy. His name's not Rabshakeh. His name is Satan, the devil. And the devil has many helpers, messengers that he'll like to send our way to discourage us. And Satan wants us to just throw in the towel and give up. He wants us to discourage us. He wants us to be fearful and unbelieving. He wants us to think that just giving up is an option. He wants us to think that trusting in God will do us no good. But the enemy is still at work today, just as he was here in our story. The enemy was trying to get God's people to distrust their God. And today, Satan is at work trying to get us to lack faith, belief, and trust in God. He wants us to give up, to give in. And this morning, I want to encourage you, we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust Him through thick and through high points and low points, through mountaintops and valleys. We just need to trust the Lord. And it's important, as we seek to trust the Lord, that we don't misplace our trust. So this morning, I'm going to give you several verses from the Word of God. I helped you out a lot this morning. I put them on the screens so that way you wouldn't have to try to keep up with me. But if you'd like to use your own Bible, you certainly may. The first verse I want to share with you this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, in verse number 8 and verse number 9. In Psalm 118, verse number 8, the Bible says this, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. God is telling us very clearly, do not trust man, do not trust government, do not trust princes and kings and authorities. They are faulty. They will fail you. They will let you down. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We have a lot of people that are misplacing their trust by putting it into the confidence of man. I really believe that there are Christians who, if their doctor told them, you know, it's unhealthy for you to go to church faithfully, regularly. It's unhealthy for you to go to church both Sunday morning and Sunday night. You need to take a break Sunday night. Going to church one time would be enough. If their doctor told them that, there's a lot of Christians that would put more faith and trust in what their doctor says than what God's word says. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the gathering of yourselves together. We need to just trust God. If God says that we need to be faithful, then we need to be faithful. We can't listen to what other people say. I know there are some people who, unfortunately, and I don't say this lightly, but unfortunately, they have an unequally yoked marriage. And the believing spouse has to take a lot of slack from an unbelieving spouse. But if the unbelieving spouse says to the Christian, listen, you go to church too much, and you know our marriage would be better if you just stayed home with me on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, and you should just, we would be better off, and the constant nagging, there would be Christians who would give in. And we would say, okay, in order to please my wife or in order to please my husband, I'll disobey God and I won't be faithful to the house of God just in order. They would trust the words of their spouse, man. And those are just a couple examples. And I could go on and on, but I got a lot of verses to go through this morning. So that's Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Look at Psalm 146, verse 3. Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Put not your trust in princes, nor the son of man, in whom there is no help. We have people who put way too much emphasis on government. They think that a particular party is the answer to the world's problems or to America's problems. Now, I'm grateful for a president that believes in the liberty of religion and the freedom of religion. I'm grateful for that. But listen, our president is not the answer. He's a man. He's faulty. The Lord is the answer for the problems of our country. The Lord. We've got to make sure we're not putting confidence in princes. We've got to make sure that we don't expect the government to do everything for us. You know, government is more harm than help. Our government is making people dependent upon them. And that's not helping people. That's hurting people. And so we've got to make sure that we're not so dependent upon princes or people and that we just trust in them for help. No, our help comes from the Lord. Look at what Proverbs 3:5. You know this verse very well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now let me give you a little bit more specific. The Bible is very clear. We're not to trust man. That includes yourself. Yourself. That's what it says there, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't trust your thinking. Don't trust your wisdom. Don't trust your way, but trust the Lord. There's a lot of self-trusting people. They're just trusting in themselves. God tells us not to trust in man, not to trust in ourselves. Let's look at another verse, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Trust ye not in any brother. Your trust is not to be in your pastor. I may be a brother in Christ, but I'm just a man. Your trust needs to be in the Lord. Your trust needs to be in God Almighty. We have a great church family here, and I love you folks, and I think highly of you, but I'm not to put my trust in another brother in this church or another sister in this church. Our trust needs to be in the Lord. Our trust needs to be in His provisions and His help and His faithfulness to us. Now, this morning, I'm not trying to get you to, you know, be distrusting of everyone, okay? I'm not trying to cause you to have some kind of a complex where you're just looking suspiciously at everybody that you see, okay? That's not my goal this morning. I'm just trying to tell you from the Word of God, God makes it very clear. We cannot put trust in mankind. We cannot trust ourselves. We cannot trust even our own family, our brother. Look at what 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me give you another thing we cannot trust in. It's not people. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. There are some people who are trusting in their bank account. Certainly ain't me, but there are some people that are trusting in their bank account. There are some people that are trusting in their riches. They're trusting in their money. There are some churches that are trusting in their money. They're trusting in that little stockpile that they have. And because they have that little stockpile, they don't need God. They don't have to pray that God would make sure that the offering is able to meet the needs, because there are some churches, I know personally a pastor, a friend of mine, who was pastoring a church, and they had all this money stockpiled. And he wanted to do some things to better the church, and people didn't want to touch that. No, that's our security. That's our security. I thought God was our security. I thought God was the one we trusted in. But no, they had their trust in money. They had their trust in their riches. We need to have our trust in God. God is the one who will meet our every need. We've got to have our security in the right place. We're not to trust filthy dollar bills. We're to trust the Lord our God. Now, I'm not saying be stupid with your money. I'm not saying to be foolish. You ought to be wise. You ought to be smart. I do believe in having an emergency fund. I do believe in saving and investing for the future. I think all those are good things, but our confidence and our trust can't be in money. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. Proverbs 28 and verse number 26 says this: he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You see what that says? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You're a fool, according to the Word of God, if you put yourself in a situation where you could fall to temptation. No, that I would never do that. I would never trip and fall and stumble into that. I'm strong. I walk with God. I love God. I'm trying to be faithful to God. If you're trusting in yourself and in your own heart, and that's why, I always give counsel to dating or courting, whatever term you want to use, couples, that it is very dangerous to be alone. It's very dangerous, and you should not be alone together. I try to tell my daughter that growing up. I certainly have told Josiah that growing up. Why? Because if you put yourself in a position where you could possibly fall into temptation, then you're one step away. But if you guard yourself so where you're not in a position to fall, then you're further away from that temptation. And we have people who say, well, no, I would never do that. We have people who say, well, I know my daughter, I know my son, and I trust them. Where in the Bible does it say that you can trust your daughter? I'm not trying to meddle. I'm not trying to be obstinate. But I've studied it, and it could be in there. Perhaps I missed it, but the verses I look at, I never see where God commands us to trust in man. So, man, you must be a horrible parent. You must be hard to deal with. I don't know. Maybe I am. But you know how far I trust Josiah? As far as I can see him. That's how far I trust him. No, he's a good kid, and I do have confidence that he will do the right thing. But I'm also wise enough and smart enough to know that if he puts himself in a very weak situation, he could fall. So I've told him, Josiah, you can't trust yourself. You can't trust your own heart. You can't trust your flesh. You've got to avoid temptation. You've got to avoid opportunities to do wrong. And if you stay away from an opportunity to mess up, then it's impossible for you to mess up. But if you put yourself where you're just one step away from falling and committing a grievous sin against the Lord, then you're not being very wise. You're being foolish. God says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Let's move on. Micah chapter 7, verse number 5. Josiah, this is for you. Olivia, this is for you. You can use this when you see people your age, okay? Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. On Friend Sunday, which is June 22nd, I'm going to tell you a story of how I made the mistake of trusting a friend. I made a mistake of putting my trust in my friend. Thankfully, God was merciful to me. Thankfully, God turned it all out, made it all come out fine. But I made a mistake as a 15-year-old boy of putting my trust in my friend. And so if you want to know what that was, what that story entails, then you'll have to come back on June 22nd to listen to it. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's pretty strong language, wouldn't you say? Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Don't trust in yourself, and don't trust in man. You need to trust in the Lord. He is your guide. He is your sufficiency. Then Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. This morning, I just want to say there's only one person that you can put your trust in and be confident that it's the right place and it'll turn out right. And that is the Lord. He is our hope. He is our stay. He is our confidence. We need to trust the Lord. We all have the gift of free will. We all have the ability to choose, and we will make mistakes, but yet God is sovereign. And there's been a long debate for many years, centuries, over the debate over man's free will and God's sovereignty. We all have a choice, but yet God is still in full control. I have a little illustration for you to try to help us to explain how each and every one of us have a choice to do what we want to do. And yet, just because we have that choice to do what we want to do, it does not take away the fact that God is completely in control and God is completely all-powerful. Man's free will and God's sovereignty is like two rails of of train tracks. God's sovereignty and man's free will are like two parallel rails of train tracks that never intersect but always get to the intended destination. God's plan will be completed. God will carry out his purpose, and he allows you to have a free will. And yet, in his sovereignty, he's able to use your choices, even the bad choices, he's able to use them for good to carry out his plan. It's hard for us to comprehend that because we're not God, but he's infinite and he's all powerful. Almighty God has the power to align his sovereign rail with the rail of man's free will, and connected together, they fulfill his divine plan. You see, they're two separate rails, but they're connected by those cross beams. And man's rail may decide to swerve a little bit away from the intended destination, but God in his sovereignty can work in that man's life to bring them back to start turning the other way because they're connected together. It's an amazing thing how God can accomplish his plan and his will despite stupid, negative, bad things that we as human beings do. But he does. And it started in Garden of Eden with the choices that Adam and Eve made. But God is completely in control. God is completely all-powerful. And we need to trust his plan. We need to trust God's will for our lives. But we'll be better off if we make sure we don't misplace our trust. Don't trust yourself this morning. Don't trust a brother. Don't trust a government. Don't trust another man. You put your trust in God. And God will use people in your lives, but they're just going to be a tool. They're not going to be the source. They're not going to be the trust, but you're going to trust through them. For example, this morning, you're trusting through me to God. You're not trusting me, but you're trusting God to give me a message to give to you. You see what I'm saying? You're not trusting in me, but you're trusting that God will use me to deliver to you the message that you need. And that's what we need to understand in our lives. We need to trust ultimately in God, and God will work through different people in our lives to help us, to guide us, and to direct us. Psalm 71, verse number 1 says this, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." We just need to trust the Lord, have confidence in Him. And if we do that, we will not be confused. Silly illustration this morning. Very silly illustration. But I see a chair here. I'm going to pull it up here a little bit more. I see a chair there. And as I'm preaching, every once in a while, I have a desire, oh man, let me give my leg a rest, let me sit down. I see a chair, my mind says, go ahead, sit in the chair. So I say, okay, my mind wants to go sit in the chair, and so I'm just going to go sit in the chair. And I sit in the chair, and I go, ah, oh, thank you, Lord. I sit down in the chair. Do you know that I just displayed an act of trust? My mind said, there's a chair, there I can sit in it. I mean, I didn't think about it, but by me coming over here and sitting down, I was saying, I trust that this chair will hold me. I trust that this chair will not fall apart and that I'll land on the floor. Brother Steve, did you put this chair together? Maybe I shouldn't trust it so much. But anyway, no. So I see a chair and I say, okay, I can go there. No, I don't see a chair and then go, no. I have confidence. I have complete confidence. I see a chair. I can go. I can sit down. There's this trust. There's a confidence. I'm not here looking at, all right, let me make sure it's got all the bolts in it. Let me make sure that there's nothing loose. Let me see what the max capacity for it is. And I'm not, you know, just put a little bit of weight on it first. I'm not doing none of that confusion, none of that nonsense. No, I'm just trusting. I'm having confidence in it. And when we'll have that kind of confidence towards the Lord and say, Lord, listen, my trust is in you. I just completely trust you. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to act foolishly. I'm not going to be confused about whether I should or whether I shouldn't sit in it. I'm just going to trust you, and I'm just going to sit in your seat that you have for me. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to fulfill your plan in my life. I'm just going to trust you. Whom can we trust? Whom are you to trust? The answer is very simply, trust in the Lord. And this morning, I hope that you'll start living every single day of your life with a greater trust than you have been. As Brother Larry said, increase our faith. Well, let's increase our trust. Let's increase our faith and let's increase our trust. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. Help us, Lord, just to trust you. Lord, you said, happy is the man whose trust is in you. Lord, we will be happy. As we sung, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but in Jesus. We must trust and obey. Lord, help us to stop putting our trust in the wrong places. Help us to put our trust in you. And Lord, we know that you have the power and the ability to counteract our mistakes and our bad choices, that you're able to fulfill your plan and purpose in our lives. We thank you that you're sovereign, that you're all-powerful, you're in control this morning, and yet you've given us a choice. Are we going to trust you? Lord, help us to make the right choice and trust you. We pray that you would continue to speak to their hearts. If there's anyone here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, make sure you're trusting Him to take you to heaven. If you're a Christian this morning and you've been wavering, you've been running on empty as far as your trust level, it's time to increase it today. Father, bless the song of invitation now. Bless the baptism as well. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.